Last Sunday, I brought a message entitled, Jesus Christ, Our Great Benefactor. This morning, I want to speak to you concerning this blessedness. This blessedness. We'll be studying from the book of Romans, the 4th chapter. And this chapter discusses the advantage that Jews felt they had because they were a race. But our salvation is by grace and not by race. And that's the point that Paul was proving to the Roman congregation, using Abraham as an example. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's verse 6. And then in verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. As we think about religion today, we usually look at it because it has so many facets to it. It's confusing to us in some ways because there are some who preach that we must hold on in order to be saved, and others who preach we must let go in order to be saved. What I want us to look at this morning is what Abraham had before circumcision. I know this is a subject that we don't usually study intensely, but we have not learned many things unless we look at this lesson that Paul was teaching the Roman congregation. Whenever we see the word circumcision, and Paul calls it a sign of everything that Abraham possessed spiritually, and it did not come into being so that he would have things come to him spiritually. Excuse me. Think when we use the word circumcision, think of the Lord's Supper. Think of baptism. Think of church membership. Think of all the good works that we have been taught to do as God's people. Because I want you to see this in that particular context of the culture in which we live today. In chapter 4 and verse 1, this introduces us to the subject. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? That is, what did Abraham discover when he was in the Ur of Chaldee before he ever came into a relationship with God? What did he discover? What did he uncover? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. That is, if Abraham was not righteous where he was at this particular time, when did he become righteous? That is, when did he have a right standing before God? And this is what we should all desire, to have a right relationship with God. When did Abraham achieve this right relationship with God? Was it before he came to the land of promise? Where was it exactly? We might put it this way. Where was Abraham when he was saved? Because we have people who are saying that you're not saved until you're baptized. You're not saved unless you continually take the Lord's Supper. You're not saved unless you do many things for God. When is a person actually saved so that they become righteous in the sight of God and they have what Paul wrote as this blessedness. I'm a noted preacher. I have a lot of notes. Don't always use all of them, but I have them anyway. But in this definition of blessedness, and I think I've given this to you before, but it has the same definition in so many places in the New Testament. The word blessedness is a pronouncing happy. Just that simple. To pronounce someone happy, contented, and to be confident of his relationship to God. In its original usage, that is, in the writings of Homer, it was used to describe the life of a god. The transcendent life of living beyond care, labor, and death. But then in its usage over a period of centuries, and as it was written by Paul and used in this letter to the Romans, it meant happy destiny. That is, a destination that would bring happiness. Think of so many things in our lives that bring us happiness. But when we consider the fact that our happiness is often tied to a destination, we can see the importance of, and the meaning of this word. To have a happy destination, that is, a destination that will bring us happiness. So this blessedness has to do with the joy which accrues to man because of his right relationship to God. Do you have this righteousness? Do you want this righteousness? And what is this righteousness predicated upon? Now, the Bible tells us that the scriptures say that Abraham believed God and it, that is, his belief, was counted, put on the ledger, unto him for righteousness. Now, sometimes people get the idea that our right standing with God or our salvation is sort of like a book, like one I have here, and that you write on one side all the good things you've done and on the other side all the bad things you've done. And then there is an equation that causes them to be balanced, and if one outweighs the other, then that's your destiny. But the outcome of this book could mean a horrible destiny. Not a right relationship with God, depending upon writing down all the good things we do and writing down all the bad things we do, even our thoughts as well as our actions. So depending upon what we do, it could be a happy destiny or an unhappy, tragic, eternal destiny separated from God forever. That's sort of the weighing the scale balancing mentality concerning how one is saved. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. Paul lays out a proposition here that we can understand quite easily. In other words, if our blessedness, if our happy destiny depends upon our work, it is a reward for what we have done, and it is a debt situation. In other words, we can put God in debt to us, and we can have a debt toward God. So it's a mutual indebtedness. I owe God, God owes me. I wonder how long that would work. me paying God everything He demands and God paying me everything I demand. I don't think that would work, because I think my debt would be so much greater than the debt that God owes me for doing His work. I'm going to come out loser on that deal for sure. Now, but to him that worketh not, that is for his salvation, to have righteousness before God, or to come to that happy destiny, but to him that worketh not, but believeth, that is, trusts on him that justifieth the ungodly, that is, on Jesus Christ, his faith is counted, that is, put in this book alongside your name. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, that entry is made righteous. We're going to explore that a little bit more, as Paul does in his writings. Now, even as David, well, let's read verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So righteousness is imputed. We don't use that word much at all, but it simply means to put on your account, to account to your name, if you please. It's not earned. It's not because God is obligated to put your name in the book of life so that you'll reach that happy destiny. God isn't obligated to do that. God does it because you have become righteous in His sight. Well, how did you become righteous in His sight? So that He would not impute to you sin or put sin on your account. You know, you got your name over here. And all of a sudden, or because of an act that you have done, which is not a work, but is a belief of the heart, suddenly there's just a blank page over here on this side. Nothing being written down, except just the notation, righteous. That's all that's written down, righteous. But over here is all the things that God can do and will do and all of His promises. Now, this is how we start out as newborn babes in Christ. David described it as he wrote in Psalms 1 and 2. Now, here's what David said. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now, there's two blessings in the container of blessedness. Because blessedness is not just one thing. Blessedness is like a jewelry box that has new things and old things and precious things and things just that mean a lot because they were given to you as a young person. And so there's value, but there are many things. So there are many facets to this box, to this blessedness that we speak of this morning. One of them is iniquities are forgiven. All right, how do we get this page cleaned off? We get it cleaned off because God forgives us of all of our sins when we trust in Jesus Christ, whose sins are covered. Now, that doesn't mean the sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. I know they are, but that's not what Paul is saying here. What he is saying, that they are put out of sight. That's the second thing that's in this blessedness. Our sins are put out of sight. Our iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So here they are, imputing sin. No, God does not impute sin to the righteous man. He said, well, Brother Penn, all of this is sort of confusing. You're telling me that I'm born into the world with a nature towards sin. Absolutely. Scriptures teach us that. And when I do those things that are taught to me by my nature, by my culture, then that's a sin against God. Yes, they are. Lying, cheating, stealing, all these things, they're sin against God. And those need to be forgiven. Well, when are they forgiven? At the point when I am immersed and raised up out of the baptistry waters, is that when they're forgiven? No, the point is that Paul's explaining, when was Abraham forgiven? When did Abraham have his sins not imputed to him? When did Abraham reach the point when his iniquities were not counted against him? When did Abraham reach the point when his sins were covered? Was it when he was circumcised? No. Because the circumcision was a sign of what he already possessed. Then does baptism wash away our sins? No. If we're not saved and we are immersed, all that happened to us is that we got wet. God didn't write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. God didn't write our names in the Book of Life. God didn't pronounce our iniquities gone. No. Baptism is also a sign. As circumcision was a sign of what had already occurred to Abraham, baptism is a sign of what has already happened to us. And it points to our relationship with God. And they are laid out here before us. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? In other words, this blessedness, that is, of being a child of God not imputing sin, of God imputing righteousness without works, whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered, the Lord is not imputing sin. Does all of this come upon those who've been circumcised only, meaning the Jewish race, or upon the uncircumcision also? Can Gentiles be saved because of something that happens to them by an act of God because they have faith? Or is there something that is more or as important? Is it sort of a process? Well, Paul said, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. But when? When was faith reckoned to Abraham for righteousness? How was it then reckoned? How was it put on the books? When did God wipe the slate clean and write on this page, not of works, no iniquity imputed, no sin imputed, no unrighteousness imputed. It just says righteous. When did that happen with Abraham? Not in circumcision, verse 10, but in uncircumcision. All of these things, this blessedness came to Abraham before he ever became a Jew in the sense of circumcision. Because there was no law of Moses at that time. Moses came later. He was not in the land of promise. He was just Abraham living in the Ur of practicality among idol worshipers. But something happened. Abraham saw something. Abraham realized something. And that is, there was one true and living God, that idols had no breath, they could not save you, they could not help you, but there was one creator of all things, and this was the true and living God. And Abraham trusted this true and living God. And when Abraham trusted this true and living God, God put it down that Abraham was righteous. Now Abraham has a mission. And that is to go to a place where God would guide him. That's the whole mission. Not complicated, just leave this place and go to a place where I'll show you. Well, leaving the place didn't make Abraham righteous. He was already righteous before he left the place. And later when he circumcised, that didn't give him a spiritual advantage at all. It was just a reminder of all that God had done for him and of what God expected from him as the progenitor of a righteous race, which they weren't all righteous and still aren't. But also embedded within this was that seed, not seeds plural, but that seed singular, that would fulfill the promise God made to Abraham, that in thee and in thy seed singular shall all the ethnic groups, nations, be blessed. That is, what you carry in your loins will be brought to life. And that life will be the hope of all nations, every ethnic group in the world, that they also may have this blessedness that you received from God when you were in the Ur of Chaldee. God had a plan, not just for the Jew, but for the Gentile also, that through the loins of Abraham would come the blessed Son of God. He received the sign, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised. The seal as in a legal seal. It's done. It's filed. It's over with. It's complete. It's yours. It belongs to you. We paid off the land in Tennessee. And we got the title already recorded in the county. But there's something else we needed. And our attorney advised me, said, Brother Penn, I think you'll get it anyway, but you need a release of lien or lien. I waited, but about 2 weeks later, here it came. Entitled Full Release of Lien. And it guaranteed that we didn't owe anybody at that mortgage company anything. The property was all ours. But you know, it was stamped 2 or 3 times. That is the seal. Stamped. It's over with. It's paid for. You have the land. And that's all circumcision was. It didn't free him from a debt. It was a sign that the debt had already been paid and settled with God, and now Abraham was righteous before God, and his iniquities were forgiven, his sins were covered. All of this had happened to Abraham when he trusted the one who would come. When he put his faith in Jesus Christ, he then was a righteous man, and his destiny was blessed. It was a happy destination to which he was then going. Not the promised land, literally, but the eternal home of mankind. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. though they be not circumcised. So when we talk about Abraham, we can call him Father Abraham. Not because we are of the Jewish race, but because we can be saved the same way Abraham was saved. We can have the same standing before God that Abraham had. And we are the family of faith, not the family of law, not the family of works, but we're all descendants of Abraham, and we're all descended through faith and have this right relationship and this expectancy of a happy destination. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In other words, Abraham wasn't going to inherit what he was going to inherit because of the law of Moses that would come along. Abraham was going to inherit what God had promised him because of the faith he exercised in God. And that's true of us. Because the law worketh wrath, that is the anger of God. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. That's how we know we're sinners. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He included everyone when he wrote this letter to the Romans, Jew and Gentile, in that congregation at Rome. The Jews are saved by faith. Gentiles are saved by faith. This blessedness does not come upon the circumcised only. This blessedness comes upon the uncircumcised who are not the physical children and descendants of Abraham, but they are righteous in the sight of God as Abraham was righteous in the sight of God before he left the Ur of Chaldees and before he had done all the things that God had asked him to do. So I would ask you this morning, what is your destiny? Do you have a happy destiny? Are your sins forgiven? Does God impute righteousness to you without works? Are you blessed? Do you have this blessedness? Let's stand and sing our hymn of invitation this morning.